Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here in 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
Our head of production, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
We got the band together. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We got a monthly veterans update from our good friend Bill Heck coming up right after this segment. And some then a right stories, good stories of the day, all coming up for you and plenty more. But right now, we, of course, every Monday like to do a little thing right where we have some fun with.
That's right, it's Monday, and welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR, the segment within the morning show where we talk about food-related subjects. Today's topic is weird.
Oh, great.
Hey, I thought we liked weird.
Well, we do, usually, but weird food...
Oh, come on now. Specifically, what we're going to talk about is weird food combinations and why we like them.
Oh, that sounds like a science-y episode.
It is a bit.
I get that part. Me.
Yeah, so what? I have to talk about weird foods people like to eat together, like peanut butter and pickles or bananas and mayo. Ew.
Well, to be fair, Seth, last week's topic was your very favorite thing, and you took full advantage of the opportunity to lord it over us just of how much you know about pie.
Pie. All right, fine. As long as you don't make me talk about weird combos in pie, I'll play along.
Well, very good. I found an in-depth article in Popular Science called There's a Science to Food Pairing, and You Can Learn It Here. It was published on October 22nd, 2020, and it's based on the book The Art and Science of Food Pairing. The book is designed to help you balance the elements of flavor or aroma, taste, and texture. Doing this will add depth and dimension to your dishes.
Let's start with texture. I have an issue sometimes with food textures, and that's why I don't like certain foods. According to the article, they identified 60 different types of textures. Man, that's a lot. But they categorized them in two main groups, soft and crunchy slash crispy. The important thing to remember when pairing foods is to have contrasting textures to give your dish dimensions. Dishes without texture can get boring quickly.
Great. The combination of a soft food with a crunchy food is very appealing. Think chips and dip or ice cream with cookie crumbles.
The next element is contrasting tastes. They say you should try to incorporate at least two of the five contrasting tastes together to balance your dishes and drinks. These are sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. I love that word. I want to say it again. Umami. There's a complicated diagram in the book that shows how the different tastes enhance, reduce, or balance each other out.
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure it out, but then it makes perfect sense. For instance, salty tastes can enhance or balance sweet. Sweet reduces bitter and balances umami. And bitter and sour balance each other.
That's why sea salt caramels have become so insanely popular. The salt balances the sweet.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's where the book gets a little crazy. The ingredients in the book are classified according to their system of 70 aroma descriptors. 70. Wow. They're grouped into 14 aroma types, which make them a little more manageable, but it's still a lot. For instance, the aroma type green has aroma descriptors of cucumber, fatty, grass, oat flakes, and waxy.
Waxy. But all of this complexity gives huge insight into why we like certain foods together and why I may now have to try black garlic and chocolate in the same dish.
Huh?
It says here that right in front of me, the chocolate-like sweet but tangy flavor of black garlic can make it an unusual, surprisingly delicate addition to a chocolate brownie. Its fruity, floral notes also open up possibilities for other dessert pairings, such as with orange, melon, or dark berries.
Okay. I'll admit, I'm intrigued, but can we take this down a notch to an understandable level?
For sure.
Oh, but the science is cool.
Don't worry. There's still science involved. And if you're really interested in diving into the topic, you can head to foodpairing.com. Bernard Lahousey, one of the authors of the book, began the Belgian company Food Pairing, and there's tons of information on his website, including how to interpret the aroma profile.
Foodpairing.com, typing that in, bookmarking it, got it.
So food items have chemical compounds that make up their flavor profile. These compounds vary based on temperature. Foods with similar chemical compounds have opportunities for pairing. That's why something like coffee and hazelnut go so well together. They both have roasted and nutty compounds to them.
Okay, but so do black beans and dark chocolate. I don't see myself pouring chocolate syrup over my refried beans.
Okay, but this is where the experimentation comes in. I actually found a recipe for dark chocolate brownies that uses black beans as the main ingredient.
So it's just as important how you prepare a dish as what ingredients you use.
Absolutely. Mm.
That sounds like a lot of possible trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just surf the internet and see what combos other people have come up with.
All right, let's do that.
Yes.
Well, there's a bunch of ideas out there that sound interesting. I scoured several websites to find the weird combos that are the most popular. So we're going to focus on three main ingredients here. Peanut butter, pizza, and ice cream.
I love all those things.
You're not going to ruin them for me, are you?
You don't have to try these ideas, Seth, but you could if you want.
Oddly enough, I'm game. Let's go.
Well, we'll start with peanut butter because I don't think most of these combos are that weird. I think we've talked before about how much I love peanut butter on a good burger.
Have we? Okay.
We have.
I don't seem to remember that, but okay.
We have.
I'll give that to you.
It's one of those more interesting things about you, Melissa. It's more, you know, I actually found out, thanks to you, I brought this up around my mom and dad because I know that they tend to be a little bit of weird eaters too. And my mom gave me the look. I got the look from my mother that I, ooh, how dare I call out one Melissa, who is one of her favorite people, but also that she likes this too, and that she had forgotten about it, and now that she was reminded, my dad is going to be making burgers this week just so my mom can do that.
Nice.
Oh, good, good. So how about peanut butter with bacon?
Wouldn't that also be on a burger? So that's kind of a given then, right?
All right. Well, how about a bacon, tomato, and peanut butter sandwich?
Oh, boy. The tomato and peanut butter. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Right. So the flavor is described as a typical raw marinara, but with a salty kick. There's a surprising number of recipes out there for it. People are even putting peanut butter in marinara sauce over noodles. It rounds out the flavor and gives it a salty kick, and it also adds protein and healthy fats to your pasta dish. How do you feel about that, James? We know how your Italian side is kicking in here.
I should admit journalistically that half of my body weight is peanut butter.
Yeah.
The other half is marinara.
That's true.
So it works for you. I am this. I am a walking embodiment.
So you're a rounded flavor with a salty kick?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, that's how my... It's actually, if I had a dating profile, that's how it would be described. That's exactly.
That'd be awesome,
I don't like the two worlds combined, though.
Have you tried it?
I was going to say, that is different, though. I have not tried it, so that's something that I will give a shot. You know, as I get older here and I'm trying to grow up, I would like to... I think I will try that.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, the one tip they said is don't overdo it. Don't add too much peanut butter. So start small.
Nice.
There you go.
Right. Good. That's a good tip.
So, Seth, you mentioned earlier peanut butter and pickles. Now, this combo takes it to the next level. A peanut butter sandwich with sriracha and pickle. Okay. You can even add basil and lime juice if you really want a flavor punch in your mouth.
It sounds like a punch in the mouth. It certainly does. Like,
flavor punch in the mouth needs to be a tagline for something. Some company needs to use that.
We need to open a restaurant just so we can use that tagline. Yes. It's like a flavor punch in the mouth.
I love it. I love that. That is so good.
Yeah, I would agree. It probably would be one heck of a combination of flavors there, for sure.
Well, apparently it's actually really, really good, according to some. You know, obviously not all of these are going to appeal to everyone, but...
The sriracha covers up many sins, so let's...
It does, it does. Let's move on to pizza. Now, the first combo is melted chocolate on a cheese pizza. I think this one is kind of a texture thing. Mm. Also, the chocolate adds depth to a marinara sauce and balances out the acidity. Think how they're adding chocolate to chili now.
Mm-hmm. So, which I have to say, I have made chocolate chili in the past. There's a lot of recipes out there, and it's very good. Now, before people think, it's not like milk chocolate, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not sugar. You know, you're not adding sugar, you're adding chocolate. No. So, and chocolate and a lot of beans, you know, they're related because chocolate is from beans. So this I can see working.
Yeah, I know a friend growing up that loved plain popcorn, but doused it in chocolate syrup. And I'm just thinking of that now with him like hearing this and everything. And, like, gets his pizza, pulls it out of the oven, and then just douses it in chocolate syrup.
So there you go. Yeah.
Any of this is so far to me, you know, not too far out there.
Not too bad. No.
Well, how about honey on your pizza? Again, I think it might be the sweetness balancing the savory of the tangy cheeses, salty meats, and spicy toppings, because this one is not just cheese. You can do this on any regular old pizza.
Right. Well, maybe that's why barbecue sauce is becoming so popular as a replacement for marinara on pizza.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one I'm not so sure about, but I might have to suggest it to my boyfriend. He loves egg yolk. It's like his favorite thing. So he might be game to try a sunny side up egg on pizza.
You know, this one isn't too far for me either, because I think of people who eat scrambled eggs with ketchup.
Okay.
So the tomatoes, I think tomatoes and ketchup, or you go over to England, the classic English breakfast, there's always tomatoes, grilled tomatoes in those.
Yep. Yeah. So
this is not too much of a stretch for me. No.
Okay. Yeah, it is very popular in France. So you break open the egg and you spread it all over the pizza before you eat it.
I think James got a mental note, and I think
that was almost a visceral no.
Yeah.
I heard it. All right. It's the sweet creaminess. Oh, no. Now we're going to move on to ice cream. I got ahead of myself there. Okay. Our third ingredient is ice cream. Okay. So the first combo is one I absolutely love, which is French fries with ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Not too surprising there. Mm-hmm. French fries with, like, milkshakes, you know, very similar, yeah, that kind of thing. So that one makes sense to me. That one makes total sense to me.
And my sister, it's one of her favorite things to do is dipping her fries in her shake. Make or her shell fries.
Yeah.
You go to Wendy's, get the chocolate shake.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. You got it.
It's that sweet creaminess with a salty crunch. Mm. Now, the next strange one may only seem strange here in the States. Ice cream with soy sauce.
Oh, I've heard of this combo, and I'd try it. For sure.
Yeah, the soy sauce is super salty and savory, and it's the perfect contrast to sweet vanilla ice cream.
That's right.
We had a Laotian family that lived near us growing up, and they were doing this. And I always meant to try it as a kid and never did. And now as an adult, and especially with hearing so many people and my friends over there, like in you know, different Asian countries and stuff, talking about this, I got to try it.
That sounds good.
Let's try it.
The thing to remember is it's not chocolate syrup. Don't douse it. A little goes a long way with soy sauce.
Oh, yeah.
That is good to know.
That's a good point to put out there,
Don't overdo it. Otherwise, you're going to be eating a whole lot more ice cream.
Which, you know, maybe be your plan all along. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know?
Perhaps. Well, the last weird ice cream topping is olive oil. It makes the ice cream a richer, creamier flavor. And the flavors, again, are balanced with the sweet versus the savory. And the addition of another texture, which is the oil. I don't know. Would you guys try it?
I'm trying to think about, you know, it could, I mean, because it's got the same consistency of chocolate syrup, basically, you know, olive oil does. Yeah. And maybe a little more viscosity there. But I don't know. Well, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with olive oil. There's an aftertaste with olive oil that I'm not a big fan of. But I do like cooking with it at times and using it for certain things. So, I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I'm not sure if I'd be willing to do that one.
I have to be careful when I donate blood because half my blood is olive oil.
It's olive oil.
And not everybody can accept that. That's true. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't. Growing up, my Nana was very anything on the table, whether it was a food, a side, a condiment, she wanted to use more. Just go ahead. More. Munja, Jimmy. Munja. It was always munja. Munja this, munja that, and everything. Except with olive oil. Olive oil was the one thing that it was. We always had expensive olive oil, even though it didn't have a lot. It always had nice, good stuff, usually right straight from Italy. And you had to be sparing with it. Not because she was afraid of you wasting it, but you didn't need much.
Exactly.
And it was just this touch of it and everything that she would do. It was the funniest thing to me. The woman could be in the basement. If she heard you with the olive oil, like, boom, like just right there, right next to you, like a ghost.
Who's using the olive oil?
I would try this. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and if you've listened to an earlier topic that we did in the Kitchens Open on olive oil, there are definitely, you have to be an informed purchaser when it comes to olive oil, especially here in the States, because a lot of what we have available to us is not necessarily the best olive oil.
Yes.
So that's something to watch out for.
That's a very good thing. I'm glad
you always want to buy it in a dark bottle. The stuff in clear bottles, don't do that.
Because
of
the light, sunlight.
Because of the sunlight, always check the date, and because it needs to be used preferably within a year, preferably sooner than that, of when it was bottled. But there's other things you can dig into with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were a few other odd combos that I thought were worth mentioning, like Oreos dipped in orange juice. Have you guys tried that?
Okay. No. I don't like orange juice, so I'm going to avoid that.
You probably wouldn't.
I'll try that one.
But if you like orange and chocolate together, apparently it's really good.
Hmm.
Or popcorn with ketchup. This one's very popular in Mexico. They even have squirtable salsa in the movie theaters right by the popcorn, where, we have the powder stuff to shake on ours.
Whoa.
Salsa is... Okay, let's not conflate salsa and ketchup here, okay? These are two different things.
Yes, I know. They are two different things, but they're both tomato-based.
It's true.
And I did see both out there.
All right. The salsa I'd be willing to do. Salsa, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, popcorn with milk, like a cereal.
Mm-hmm. Don't salt it first, I would say.
You want unsalted. Unsalted popcorn.
I learned that from Alton Brown about using popcorn as a breakfast cereal, because it's popped corn.
Yeah.
A lot of cereals are made out of popcorn. So,
interesting.
Yep, and just buying popcorn kernels is a heck of a lot cheaper.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that here I probably wouldn't try, bananas and ketchup.
No way. No way.
No.
Nope.
I'd try bananas and mayo first, but I haven't done that yet. Now, my mom's favorite combo even made the list, strawberry jam with cheese. Mm. She would make a piece of toast, spread it with butter and jam, usually her homemade strawberry jam, and then put a piece of cheese on top.
Okay.
I've been called weird for liking it more than once, but all I can say is don't knock it till you tried it, and my mom loved it.
I say cheese and fruit actually go pretty well together. You think of like apple pie with a slice of cheese on it. That's like an American thing.
Yeah.
So I'm for that. I have no problem with that.
Practically all charcuterie boards now have, meat, cheese, fruit.
And fruit.
That's kind of what makes up a charcuterie board. And
there
they all taste good together.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy you mentioned that, Melissa, because that was where I was going to go with it. Nowadays, I think it would be even more easier to try these things in the simplest of ways.
Yeah.
You try it, you take a bite or two, you don't like it, you're not going to feel as bad from pulling stuff from a charcuterie board and maybe not finishing it,
Right, exactly. Small bits,
It's just small bits. So you try it, you like it. Oh, great. You got a new thing you like. If you don't, no harm, no foul.
That's a good point.
As I'm realizing more and more, my mother and my Nana and my grandmother were right. It can't kill you. It can't.
No, it can't.
I thought it could. I thought mashed potatoes could, but they can't, it turns out.
Actually, they can't.
Yeah.
Well, that is going to wrap up things for us for this week. If you'd like to add your favorite weird food combo to our list, post it on our Facebook page or direct message us. You can always email me at melissa.k@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, it was another great
excellent
one.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was so much fun, Melissa. Thank you so much. You rock.
You're welcome. Thanks for playing along.
What we'll do next when we come back, I'm going to go right to the Bill Heck Monthly Veterans Update. We're going to play that Bill and I's discussion. After that, that's going to go right into Melissa's news. And then we'll be back live and direct with you right after Melissa's news in a little commercial break. So we'll have more coming up for you right here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome, everybody, to back to the morning show. Every month, at the beginning of the month, our good friend Bill Heck joins us with a monthly veterans update. We're going to do things a little different this year for this month. Bill and I, we've been working on a Sam and Dean kind of bit that we really wanted to do. And since this is recorded, we're going to we're going to give you a monthly veterans update, as always. Thank you very much for being here, Bill.
It's good to be here.
Appreciate you. What do you have for us today?
Well, just a few announcements, and then I got a couple of new things that are happening. So for July, we got the flag pickup on the 1st. Out at the mausoleum in Forest Lawn. We meet at 10 o'clock and go do the three cemeteries, picking them up. Heroes Cafe on the 12th of July. 13th, we got a VVA meeting, and the time is 5 p.m. because we're going to have a picnic that night.
Oh,
we
cool.
We have a picnic in the July meeting. So we're going to meet at 5, and then the meeting will follow.
Okay.
July 20th is a VFW meeting at 6 o'clock. And July 26th is the Heroes Cafe, and that is a picnic cafe.
Nice.
It's not going to be in the morning. It's going to be from 10 to noon.
Okay.
We're going to have sloppy joes and brats hot dogs and beans and potato salad. Anyway, it's a catered
lunch.
You're
making me hungry, Bill.
From 10 to noon.
Mm-hmm.
Free of charge.
Nice.
Now, if anybody wants alcohol, they're going to have to buy alcohol.
Yeah, you got to bring that yourself. Yeah.
You know, that's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't think somebody, but of course, I never looked up.
Never. No.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere, yes.
Eagle Raffle.
Yeah.
The Eagle Raffle that we started out on June the 6th. The tickets finally came in. They're now available. I got tickets over at the Elks Club.
Okay.
They can go in and they can see the eagle. It's hanging right there.
Yeah.
And we conveniently hung it right above the ATM machine.
Nice.
That way, if they want to
That's great.
Get a couple bucks out.
Yeah. It's convenient. It's more convenient for people.
Exactly.
That's all.
You know, if they get an extra 20 and buy some raffle
tickets. Doesn't hurt.
The raffle is actually going to end on Veterans Day. We're splitting the funds with the Elks Club because we use their raffle license. So,
you know,
we expect to make a good chunk of change on this one.
Oh, get those tickets, everybody.
$2 each, 6 for $10.
It's a great deal.
We need some people to sell tickets. I have the tickets. Just give me a call. My phone number is 262-496-3198. I'll deliver you some tickets, and you can sell tickets for it.
Appreciate you putting that out there, Bill, especially. I got people that ask me all the time about volunteering opportunities, about different ways they can put back into their community. They don't always have dollars and cents to do.
Right.
Something like that is a great way to help out.
Yeah, I got 2,000 tickets, so, you know, I
could use a hand to hand those out, especially.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of hard to, you know, sell them all at the Elks Club.
It can be difficult. Yeah, let's help out with that.
November, we have the library showcase.
Yeah.
I've got several things to put in there. I'm needing some more.
Okay.
One of the things I have, there was an art teacher here in town, Ms. McComber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
she
I've heard
passed
that,
away. Mm-hmm. But we have the pictures she painted, the Vietnam pictures. She left faces off of them because, you know, you put your own the face that you remember on there.
Yeah.
They'll be on display there. Hmm. And then when we end in November, those pictures will be donated to the High Ground out in Neillsville.
That's beautiful.
It's and also that day, November the 10th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're not doing nothing, come over to the library. We're going to show the movie We Were Soldiers.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a good. That gives me goosebumps thinking of that movie.
That's probably the best Vietnam movie ever made.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And we will have a panel of veterans there to answer any questions people might have about the Vietnam War. It's kind of hard to believe they still got questions after all this time.
It's
been studied. And
I appreciate you. I appreciate our vets being so giving of their time and of their past. Oftentimes. I know that nowadays everything's online and you can look up anything, but there's still nothing better than hearing from the source, talking to somebody
you're
directly.
Absolutely right. Last time we did this, we had five vets up on stage, and The people seem to appreciate that they. One of them was Diane Schufeld, the donut dolly.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting. You know, some of the things that she saw.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know about, and I'll say it again, the next May, the all female veteran Quilts of Valor.
Oh, can't wait.
I'm still looking. I think it was 27 was the last count. I still would like some more female vets it's going to be quite an event. It's never been done in this country that we know of so far.
Yeah.
So it's going to get some national attention.
Oh, yeah, and it's very meaningful. And certainly any attention we could bring to our organizations, these organizations, anytime is great. But the meaning behind it is so impactful, too. I'm so proud of you guys and proud of this, that you guys thought of this, that you're doing this. This is really something.
These local ladies have given out 240 quilts through the American Heroes Camp.
Wow.
And in the country alone, 343,000 plus quilts have been given away.
Just amazing, and appreciate each one of them.
Just think of the work and love involved in something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got one more announcement, and this is a brand newbie.
Mm.
I was almost a little late coming over here today because I met with a guy over at the Elks Club.
Okay.
The Stevens Point Elks Club is starting an American Heroes Cafe.
All right.
On July the 11th.
Yeah.
From 8 to 11 o'clock.
Very cool.
This is the first time it's been announced that I know of. But
it's breaking news. I love it.
There's a couple of us from our Heroes Cafe are going to go up there and see what they're doing. And again, 8 to 11 on July the 11th, the Stevens Point Elks Club.
What a wonderful idea.
It's spreading.
Yeah, it is. It is. We want to help that spread. We'll be talking about this. We'll be bringing it up on the air many times and reminding people, as we do every week or every other week, about Heroes Cafe here in Rapids. We'll be bringing that one into the fold, too. We got a lot of listeners out in the Point area. We want to make sure to take care of them, too.
And well in advance, I just want to say this. November the 8th will be our last cafe at the Elks. We're going to move back over to Crossroads.
Yeah.
Reason being, Pastor DeRoshi is going to take over the cafe after May of next year.
Whoa, wow.
The Quilts of Valor on May the 25th is going to be my last hurrah. Then I'm going out the door.
Wow.
But
understandable. You've earned it.
Well, it'll be almost 10 years at that point.
Yeah, so. You've earned it, along with so much else you've done for us and our country. We appreciate you, Bill,
Thank you very much.
You do still have to come in and put up with me, though.
That's okay.
We'll see. If you can.
We serve Black Rifle Coffee at the cafe.
That's right. Good stuff right there. There's some darn good coffee.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Bill, thank you so much for the time, as always. And again, I greatly appreciate you. Not just you putting us being on the air with us here. You, the person. I've really enjoyed talking with you, getting to know you off air.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy being on. And, you know, you always say, hey, it's good to see you. It's nice to be seen when you're my age. There was a guy, when we were doing Orange Blossoms, there was a gentleman up in Marshfield. I did the Festival of Foods up there. And he had the greatest saying. He was obviously an elderly gentleman in his 90s or so. And I says, hey, it's good to see you. He says, it's nice to be seen. He says, and I'm still casting the shadow.
Oh, I like that line.
Yeah,
That's good.
I've been using it ever since.
Yeah, I got somebody else going to be using it now. That's good. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
We'll have another monthly veterans update for you next month right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Hope you're having a good start to your week. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Whipping it good. Can I say that on the air?
I don't know.
I'm not sure if I got it.
Only when that song is playing.
Yeah, only when that song is playing, right. We got fun things lined up here. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Got some stats and facts about the 4th we're going to get into right now.
Ah, cool.
Here's a quick roundup of some stories we've been seeing. The American Farm Bureau says the average 4th of July cookout for 10 people will cost $67.
That seems cheap.
Yeah, seems like a deal.
It's
about
$6.77 a person. That's down. That is down 3% from last year when it hit an all-time high. It's still up 14% from 2021.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe it was just from last year. We were so used to the big prices last year.
A recent poll asked about some classic foods we eat on the 4th, and not all of them are as universally popular as you'd think. 33% of us hate potato salad.
Oh, it's German potato salad.
17% think pasta salad is gross. 28% wouldn't touch a deviled egg.
Aww.
34% say no to coleslaw. And 9% think any red, white, and blue dish seems gross.
What?
9%. 9% of people.
Those are the people who don't like their food touching.
Apparently. Yeah, maybe, just because of the colors? They
It has to do with food touching. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. That's so weird.
Some foods are more popular. Only 12% wouldn't eat ribs. 9% wouldn't like smoked brisket. And 7% wouldn't eat grilled corn on the cob.
Wow. Wow.
Even though those numbers are low, they're still high to me. That's still kind of...
Corn on the cob.
But
anyone can eat
a lot
that.
Of people don't... No. There's people that don't like corn on the cob.
That's true.
I know several.
Hmm. Well, need a better brand of people to hang out with. Jeez.
I like the idea of, your friend. You have your friends based on their food preferences.
Can you be my friend? Not if you don't like corn on the cob.
I like that.
That would be funny. I would be bad.
StudyFinds.com ranked the best types of fireworks and gave the top spot to the big rocket-style ones you see at displays. Roman candles came in second, and somehow sparklers came in third.
No, I like sparklers. Oof. They're quiet.
I don't. They scare me.
Really? Sparklers scary?
They get hot. And they throw off sparks, and that's scary.
Okay.
This is an interesting one. To avoid forest fires, the U.S. Forest Service has asked people to skip the fireworks this year. A lot of people, instead of using fireworks, we see this a lot out west, especially. They've been using silly string instead. However, this has gotten environmentalists very upset because silly string is not biodegradable.
You can't clean it up.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's
outside.
The problem. Yeah.
So, can we just celebrate? Can't you? Do you need fireworks? Do you need silly string? Do you need something like this to be able? Are you afraid that people aren't going to believe that you love your country and you're not celebrating the 4th if you don't let off a bunch of Roman candles at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think that there's any other subject I'm old man yells at cloud about except for fireworks. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. If you are under the age of 10, this does not apply to you. This does not apply. I encourage every little kid to enjoy fireworks, love fireworks, all that and everything. However, there's a lot of little kids out there that get freaked out by fireworks and scared of fireworks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I was one of those kids, and it's carried over to my adulthood. I'm not a big fan of fireworks because I had such sensitive ears when I was a kid. You know, the big booms really upset me. And so I'm fine. If no fireworks, go ahead. We could get rid of them. You know, I know some people are all really enjoy them, but I'm fine. It's okay.
Yeah, I like watching little kids that enjoy them. That's the fun part for me. Like if I go with a family of little kids that has little kids and they enjoy them, then there's enjoyment there for me too. Mm-hmm. But I could leave them. I don't need to watch fireworks ever again.
Go. Yeah.
I just feel like once you've seen them, you've seen them.
What more is there to see?
Yeah. I think that it'd be pretty cool if we had... What if we had, instead of having 4th of July, a fireworks display that we all show up to downtown, a block party? You know, something else, something that brought us all together. Because I don't want to get rid of the bringing us all together thing. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that about the 4th of July. That's a big part of what America is all about to me.
Yeah.
Strangers coming together and unifying over something, even if it is just to watch something. But I don't know. I don't know what the best way around this is. And I don't know that you're ever getting rid of it. And I'm not saying that you should get rid of it. I'm just saying that you got to be careful with these things.
Yeah, right.
There was a point in time where people used to drive around without seatbelts. I mean, there's
true. Yeah.
Things change.
They do.
I think that they are going to be replaced, James, and I think they're going to be replaced with drone light shows.
Ah, that would cause some inventiveness. You can do more with drones. You can make
pictures.
There's
a lot more you can do with drones. And then you can also have music accompanying it.
That's true.
That you can hear because it's not being drowned out by these loud booms all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can feel it coming already. My email box getting fuller with, well, what about the people that, you know, every year they make their job is doing the fireworks displays and everything. I don't make light of that. I don't want anybody to ever lose work or a job. Times evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a lot of those people doing that for these municipalities are volunteers. They're not getting paid.
Very true.
Yeah, that's very true.
Fireworks are expensive.
Yes, they are.
I mean, so are drones, to be fair. But
I do have a friend, Maureen, who does this. Her and her family have for years gone around the Midwest here doing those. And I don't it's a family tradition. It's something that they're very proud of. And I don't want to take work from anybody. I'm not trying to do that. But if I was from in the coal mining industry, and my son and I had this was our my son, I would be encouraging him to do something else.
Right.
Would be encouraging him to get into a different field.
Not much there call for blacksmithing jobs these days, you know?
Yeah.
That's something like that,
Mm-hmm. And finally, good news if you're traveling, gas prices are a lot lower than they were last 4th of July. The national average was $4.87 a gallon a year ago. The average now is $3.54.
Wow.
It's $1.33 cheaper. It's a 27% drop.
Wow.
In the three decades they've been tracking this, it's the second biggest drop ever. The only one to beat it was during the Great Recession between 08 and 09. Hmm. Prices went down a 270 back then.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Hmm. Interesting. That's fascinating.
Yeah, quite an interesting list there. Quite an interesting list. You might have noticed we didn't do an entertainment segment. We're going to do that on Wednesday. They're nothing really time sensitive, so we're just going to move it to Wednesday because we got other things to focus on here. When we come back, we got a Danny Wright story, and I want to talk about the city of Wisconsin Rapids and their Independence Day celebration. We've got some local stuff we want to get to with good stories of the day and plenty more coming up with Melissa, Seth, and James here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a good start to your week out there. Just a reminder, everybody, we will not be here with our live content tomorrow. We will be back live and direct on Wednesday. Be sure to join us then. Got a fun show lined up for you Wednesday. We're going to have some good times. But want to get to some local things going on in the area. We're going to skip the That Ain't Right story today. We just don't have the time. And honestly, I kind of want to leave on a good note.
All right.
But the That Ain't Right story I have, we will be doing on Wednesday. And it is a doozy, everybody. It is a real doozy.
Be a year-end one.
We got this from Aspirus a little while ago, and a big shout-out to Pam Hilke for sending it over to us. Aspirus Health shares tips for the fireworks safety as the 4th is right around the corner. Every year in the U.S., more than 3,000 children under the age of 15 are sent to the emergency room because of fireworks, according to the Safety Kids Worldwide. There is a lot of things to keep in mind with this. Typical injuries include burns from fireworks, tend to be the extreme on hands, fingers, and legs, as well as the head and eyes. Sparklers burn at a temperature of about 2,000 degrees, which is hot enough to melt some metals.
See, Seth, I told you.
I threw that in there just for you, Melissa.
I had to. Vindication.
So don't hold it in your mouth. That's what I'm saying, okay?
The National Fire Protection Agency cautions that backyard fireworks simply aren't safe. That said, you light fireworks yourself, be sure to take these precautions. Quote, first, never allow young children to play with or ignite fireworks.
Yes.
Ever.
100%. No.
Always have an adult supervise firework activities. Keep a bucket of water or a garden hose handy in case of fire or other mishaps.
Yes.
Again, keep a bucket of water or a hose nearby. Back up to a safe distance immediately after lighting the fireworks. Do not treat your fireworks display in your backyard, in your front yard, or even in the street like you are going to a fireworks display, your city's fireworks display.
Right.
You got the little kids and everybody all lined up right in front. What happens? Something goes wrong and you become a viral sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want people making fun of you on the 4th of July? Do you want your videos going around and you and your loved one it's in the ER? That's how you want to celebrate the, you know, that's how you want to start July 5th? Just be smart about this, everybody. Make sure fireworks while in and aren't impaired by alcohol or drugs, and make sure fireworks are legal in your area before buying and using them.
Yes.
Want you to have a good 4th. Want you to have a safe 4th, everybody. The city of Wisconsin Rapids has some announced. They made some announcements about their celebration. They, Seth, let's tell them about the Wisconsin Rapids City Band to start this off, actually.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to be playing their usual July 4th outdoor concert at the Centralia Center. It's going to be at 7 o'clock, brought to you this year by the Engel Fellowship. They're playing from about 7 to 8 o'clock. And I just want to mention, if you're in the area there around that time, from 3 to 8:30, the Moravian Church will be having their annual Brat Fry outside in that area. They have brats and burgers this year. They're trying pie by the slice this year, not just big
goods. Well, I bet you're happy.
So it's a, hey, any more pie. So,
how did that get in?
Yeah.
How did they switch?
Actually, I had nothing to do with it. No, okay. I didn't.
Really?
But I think it's really cool that they're doing that. So, yeah, come on over. We've got lots of refreshments, burgers, brats, popcorn, all the good stuff there. So from 3 to 8:30 this year. So get your stuff when you're heading over to see the fireworks.
It's not a bad area to see the fireworks
exactly.
from. Exactly.
Right over there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do want to ask one thing. The parking lot of the church is reserved for people with accessibility issues. So that's, we want to make sure that's out there, that that's for people who don't, who need a shorter route to get to the fireworks. So keep that in mind, everyone.
The DJ Entertainment Engines will start playing music at 6. The national anthem will be sung by Don Johnson immediately before the fireworks show begins. Food and refreshment vendors will be located on the West Grand Avenue, on the west side of the river, on 2nd Street South, and south of East Grand Avenue, and on the east side of the river. The fireworks show relies upon donations, and donations are still being accepted. You can go to wirapids.org for more information, or contact the finance department at 421-8233, 421-8233. Do keep in mind, no tarps, blankets, or chairs may be placed in the riverbank or in any city park before 6 a.m. on July 4th. No parking will be allowed on 2nd Street South between East Jackson Street and Mead Street from 6 a.m. on the 4th of July through the conclusion of the event. No vehicle traffic will be allowed on Birch, Maple, Walnut, Pine, Widder, Locust, and Mead Streets between 2nd Street South and 3rd Street South between 3 on July 4th through the conclusion of the event. Parking spaces designated for individuals with disabilities will be available at the Moravian Church on Goggin Street, as Seth just mentioned. And boaters will be there will be a safety zone established depending on weather conditions, which will be set and monitored by boat patrols. Keep that all in mind, along with for easier departure at the conclusion of the event. Park on the side of the river in which you live. Something to keep in mind.
That's a good thing.
Always yield to pedestrians. Keep an eye out for little kids and everybody bopping around. Our city's very busy this time of year.
Yeah.
And take the time you need to return home safely. In the event of inclement weather, stay tuned to us here at WFHR. I've talked to the mayor personally, and he will let us know, and I will come here and announce. I'll just come in live and jump on the air as much as I can and mention it. If not, we'll get a sounder together or something. All by all rights, it seems like we're going to be fine. It looks like it's going to be fine and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep that in mind, everybody. I did want to also mention some other good stuff from around the world that's going on to touch on. Like a radio host in Australia named Mario Burkus just became a Guinness World Record holder. He recently hosted his show for 55 hours and 26 minutes straight.
Whoa.
That's insane.
I keep talking about wanting to beat a Guinness record. I think I found the one I want to do.
Oh, no.
That?
Yeah.
Really?
I want to do it. I want to do that, yeah. Now, I it's easy for me to say this because there is no way in the world that our owners would ever let me do this.
You think Civic Media would let you do that?
I don't think that Mike would let me do it. You think he's going to not let Devil's Advocate on the radio? You think there's any chance that is going to happen? Let alone they're smart enough to know not to let me do this. That comes first and foremost. They're smart enough not to.
But man, 55 hours.
I would do it.
That's
I would
a
do
long
it
time, man.
I would do it. If they call my bluff on this, I'll do it. I definitely would. I definitely would.
Wow.
A police officer in Virginia ran into a burning building last month to save three dogs. Now there's body cam footage of it online. All three dogs made it out.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really, it was a tough video to watch. Even though I knew how it turned out, I was worried about the officer and those dogs. Mm. That's how intense it was. Even though I knew, and it's only like a little long, it's not that long, it still was that impactful, that intense.
I bet.
I can imagine.
I understand that the purpose and the big push and the big purpose of the body cam footage was certainly accountability and a lot of those things. And I that's obviously all very good stuff and everything. I love that we've gotten so much footage we never would like this. Did anybody see the police officer stop the other week? It was so hot out, and he asked some kids if he could slide on their water slide.
I did see that. Really? Yes,
on their slip and slide.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It was beautiful. It was a wonderful moment. The kids loved it. He enjoyed it. I just in that moment I realized how much of an adult I've become, because my first thought was, oh, I hope his badge doesn't rip the. It's like, oh God, I'm
so adult.
I'm way too adult. Yeah. I don't like it. And is this the best grandma ever? This lady really had to work for it. Back in November, a woman in Massachusetts named Pam Morse bought Taylor Swift tickets for each of her 5 granddaughters. Then it almost fell through. She bought them through StubHub for a show in May, but back in February, she got an email from StubHub saying that there were no tickets available. The seller flaked, and StubHub claimed there was nothing they could do. Mm. But Pat refused to break her grandkids' hearts, so she went on her local news. StubHub has a guarantee, so if something like that happens, you're supposed to get similar seats at the same event. And once her local news got involved, they immediately buckled within 24 hours. Pat's granddaughters had better seats about 20 rows closer. One of them called it the best night of her life.
Oh, that's awesome. Way to go, Grandma.
Yeah.
Way to go, Grandma, and way to go to that news outlet covering that story.
Put some pressure,
I've gotten feedback from listeners that they have tried to do this before, and some of our local news companies and sources stay away from certain stories. Mm-hmm. And I that's not reporting. That's not doing your job.
Right.
You should not be able to call yourself a journalist or a reporter if you are not
reporting.
Reporting.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not covering the news. That's your job. Like, do your job. A shout out to that grandma. That is a heck of a grandma right there.
Good job. Good on her.
We got Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. Rafters are home hosting Fond du Lac. It's Military Monday. Get to the ballpark if you can. Our pregame will start at 5:50 for that, and encourage you to check out Rafter Baseball today and tomorrow. The Rafters are hosting Madison. 12:50 start time for that game. Keep that in mind, everybody. And have yourselves a great 4th. Enjoy your 4th of July.
Enjoy, everybody.
I want to send a big shout-out to Bill Heck. I appreciate Bill joining us. That was a great show, and thank you to all of you. Enjoy. Enjoy. Have a safe, fun, wonderful 4th of July, everybody. We'll meet you back here on Wednesday.
All right.
Enjoy, everyone. See you soon right here at...
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.